Worship service.
Thank you. You feel the spirit, right? God has been so good to us. We were, sometimes you feel like you're running to catch up with what God is doing. And that's kind of what it's been like with this school thing. We knew God, he laid it on our heart about 3 months ago that we needed to start a school. And so it was kind of like, just do what he says and he figures out a way to do it. He's probably already had the plan, but we didn't have the plan, but he had the plan. And we're catching up. And it seems like that's been it has been in the ministry, that God's always kind of like 2 steps ahead of me and I'm just running to catch up. And so anyway, it's good to see you here. Emily, it's really good to have you this morning. Glad to have you. She came here when she was about her daughter's age. She was, I guess she was older than that. She was probably 12 or 11 or something like that. But it's good to have you here, Emily. Glad you could come today. The air conditioner was on, but sometimes people think they get too cold and they push the button. And so I'm sorry if you're warm. Okay. Amen. It's a good day. We've been talking about what you have in Christ. Those spiritual blessings. We've been talking about who am I for heaven's sake? And so we're going to continue that. Actually, I think this is the last. This is part 5 of a 5-part series of Who Am I for Heaven's Sake? And next week, we're going to start a new series called What Am I Doing for Heaven's Sake? So I want us to look again at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. And then we're going to make some declarations of who God says we are before we move on to chapter 2. Let's stand together for the reading of God's word. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Man, that's a powerful verse. If you just think about that, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places is yours and mine. That is amazing. So when we don't know what to do, when we get in a situation we don't know how to go about it, we can always call on the Father, and he's got that at his disposal for us. So who are we? We've mentioned several things. We are, read this with me, I'll get out of the way. We are a chosen people. We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. I am a citizen of heaven. I am a priest of the Most High. I am special and precious to Father. I have been chosen from the foundation of the world by Father. I have been adopted into his family. I am accepted by Father. I am an heir of heavenly blessings. I am, my body is, home to the Holy Spirit. And you, that's just some good stuff.
I am alive.
And I am alive. That's today. We're going to try to go through 5 more today. Okay, you may be seated for just a second. You are who God says you are. You are not who someone else says you are. Some of you this morning never felt accepted by moms or dads or parents or family, but God says, "I accept you. You are not rejected by me. I accept you. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies are yours. We've only been through 12 of them. We're going to try to get through 5 more today. Okay? And that's just a tip of the iceberg. That doesn't even go into a lot of other things that even these scriptures talk about. So if you would, stand together as we read Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Good stuff. Michael, I'm going to ask if you would to pray for me before I begin, please. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Michael. So another spiritual blessing that we discovered as we were reading that is that we are alive spiritually. When you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, there's something ignited in you. Scripture teaches us that before we meet Christ, that our spirit is dead, that we are unable to communicate with God. We are unable to feel him and feel his presence. We're unable to acknowledge him in a way that he wants to be acknowledged. But when you received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, that came alive in you. You remember reading in Genesis where Jesus told Adam and Eve, don't eat of this tree. Because the moment you eat of this tree, what's going to happen? You will surely die. Immediately, as soon as they ate of the tree, that connection that they had with the Father was removed. And from that time on, till the time Jesus came, there was a preparation for us to be called back into his presence and to be called back into communion and fellowship with him. We were dead spiritually. But when we received Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, something came alive within us. You remember Nicodemus, Jesus met him. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night because, doesn't say why, but I'm assuming because he was one of the chief Pharisees and he didn't want others to see that he was corresponding with Jesus. And so he went at night and began talking to Jesus and said, what should I do to be saved? And Jesus said, you've got to be born again. Of course, that was confusing to Nicodemus. But what Jesus is saying is that you've got to come alive. You've got to come alive. You've got to come alive in your spirit to God. And you do know that there's only one way that you can come alive spiritually, and that's through Jesus Christ. If you receive him as your personal Lord and Savior, there's something that happens in your soul that allows you to begin to feel God's presence and commune with him and be one with him. It's an amazing thing. It's a miraculous thing. It's a heavenly blessing that we come alive. It's a tremendous thing. Romans 5:8 says, I'm not there yet. I'm going to back up a minute. Jesus said in John 10:10, I came to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. That was the reason Jesus came, is to give life. There's no one else who can give life as Jesus does. You can be made alive spiritually. You can be made alive to your purpose that God has for you, that he planned for you from the beginning of time. Jeremiah tells us that I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord of hosts, plans for good and not for evil, to give you a hope and a future. We become alive to the needs of others. We become alive to the world around us. I know for myself, probably for you too, before I met Christ, I was a very selfish individual. Everything had to do with me. But after I met Christ, the needs of others became more pronounced. And I began to see the needs of others. I began to see their lostness. I began to see them without Christ. I began to see their needs. And it grieved me when I became alive and saw that others were not so. Number 13, another blessing. You are loved by Father. I don't know if you've noticed, when you read the book of John, there's a little phrase in there that whenever John refers to himself, he calls himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. He never says, he said, the disciple whom Jesus loved did such and such. And I always chuckle at John because just because he was noticing, and maybe he had never noticed God's love before, but when he became alive, something happened and he recognized God's love for him. The disciple whom Jesus loved, the disciple whom Jesus loved. Paul said this in Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You know, Father didn't wait till we got all cleaned up, did he? He didn't wait until we became good enough. He didn't wait until we quit participating in the activity we were participating in prior to loving us. But scripture says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Did you know he takes you just like you are? Then he works with us to make us what we ought to be. Scripture says that we're the apple of his eye. Zephaniah 3:17 says that he rejoices over us with singing. He rejoices over you with singing. He thinks of you and he just does a dance. Woo-hoo! It's hard for us to picture that. But that's what Scripture says. So I was speaking to a lady the other day from Indonesia. Her grandfather is 92 years old, and she's concerned that her grandfather, he's in poor health, and she's afraid that he's going to pass away without knowing Christ. So I told her, I was trying to coach her on what to do. And so I said, tell your grandfather, I love you very much, and I want to see you in heaven when I get there. And she said, that's going to be difficult, because we don't have the word love in our language. We don't tell people we love them, we show them. I thought, well, that's pretty cool, pretty radical. And that's what Jesus did for us. He didn't just tell us. He showed us. He showed us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Lisa Bevere, a Christian author, poses a question that I had never considered before. And she had been, she's a well-known speaker, Christian speaker, and she goes a lot of different places. So she was saying that she came home, she had jet lag, was trying to rest up. And as she was trying to rest, a thought came into her mind from the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit said to her, I do not love my children equally. Bevere said she was dumbfounded at this statement. Surely God loves us all the same. Surely he couldn't do something like play favorites. The Holy Spirit went on to explain, someone same would mean one of you are replaceable. I don't love my children equally. I love them uniquely. Unique, the word unique means the sole representative of, the sole unique means without rival. So God loves you, and there's no rival for his affection toward you. Isn't that amazing? That's really amazing to me. Father loves you uniquely because you're the only one who can do what you can do for his glory at this time in eternity. Number 14, scripture says, you've been elevated and sitting with Jesus in heavenly places along with other believers. And that's another thing that's hard to get our head wrapped around. That you are already sitting beside Jesus in heaven with him. One day we're going to experience it. Right now we can only imagine it. But here's the deal. Seating indicates several things. One of the things that it indicates is that it's a sitting with Jesus is a place of honor. You remember Jesus was telling his disciples a parable. And he said, when you go into a feast or a banquet or a wedding banquet, and everybody wants to sit up near the guest of honor. Everybody wants to sit up near the groom. When you go in, sit in the lowest seat so that when the groomsman sees you and he says, come on up here higher, then you will be elevated to a place of honor. And what Jesus has done, he has elevated you to a place of honor. Isn't that incredible? That is amazing that the Lord would put me in a place of honor and the Lord would put you in a place of honor, sitting with him. Come up here. Come up here closer. Come up here closer. Come up here closer. But it's not only a place of honor. Sitting with Jesus is a place of authority. You have more authority than you know. Scripture teaches us that we have authority over demons, over sickness, and anything that God trusts you with, you have authority. Jesus said, in John chapter 14, 12. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Scripture teaches us that we're going to be ruling and reigning with Christ. Whenever he establishes his kingdom here on earth, we're going to be ruling and reigning with Christ. And so this is a place of authority that the Lord has placed us in. So you have been called to a place of honor, and you've been called to a place of greater works. The third thing sitting with Jesus signifies is that you are in a place of fellowship with him. If you're sitting beside Jesus, do you think you're going to have a dialogue with him? I think that would be the natural thing. When you're sitting with Jesus, there's going to be a oneness. When you're sitting with Jesus, you're going to feel his spirit much more palatable than we felt this morning. And there's going to be things that you're going to just know because you're in his presence. And you're going to want to stay there forever. And you're going to want to fellowship with him and commune with him. You're going to want to dialogue with him. Sitting with Jesus signifies a sweet, sweet, sweet fellowship that non-believers cannot experience. But did you know that we can actually experience some of that now in our prayer time, in our worship time? As we fellowship with one another, sometimes you can just feel the Spirit on somebody and it just kind of oozes over onto you. You are seated the heavenly places, and you've been called into fellowship, communion, dialogue, oneness of spirit. Number 15, you have the grace and kindness of God upon you. Some people call it God's favor. Sometimes we go through difficult times, and we wonder, where is God's grace and his kindness and his favor now? I'm sure you've been watching the news, and we've got brothers and sisters in Afghanistan who are being murdered by the Taliban because they hold the name of Jesus. I was reading this last week that they're going from house to house getting their phones. If they've got a Bible app on their phone, then that is a sentence of death. And I'm wondering, would I delete my Bible app? I don't think I would. You know, we've got a lot of people in our community with coronavirus. As a matter of fact, I don't know if you remember Marvin Kazmaier and Judy, Living Water Fellowship. Judy passed away this morning, from yesterday morning, with the coronavirus. Marvin's not doing good himself. Good friends. Where is God's goodness? Where is God's kindness? Well, let's read the entire passage, okay? Let's read the entire passage. Again, in verse 7, he says, I guess I'll have to find it. I can't find it in my notes. verse 7 says that in the ages to come, that in the ages to come, he might show you the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. You've not received what you're going to receive. Not everything that happens to us here on this earth is always good, always pleasant, always nice. And that's not what God promised. He said, in the ages to come. As a matter of fact, listen to what Jesus said. He said, I have told you in John 16:33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace. Hold on to that. In the world you will have tribulation and distress and suffering. But be courageous, be confident, be undaunted, be filled with joy. Is it possible? Okay, now he just told you the horrible things that's going to happen. And then he says, be happy. Be joyful. Be at peace. Is that even possible? Of course it is. Of course it is. But in order to do that, we have to keep our eyes on the goal. We have to keep our eyes on the prize. We have to keep our eyes on what's coming and what not what we're going through at this time. Be confident, be undaunted, be filled with joy. I have overcome the world. My conquest is accomplished, my victory abiding. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And then, do you know who wrote this? A guy named Paul. And I don't know about if you remember or not, but he didn't have a good time in Ephesus. He preached there for about 2 years. But one day as he was preaching, there was this young girl following him who was a fortune teller. And her following him annoyed him. So he turned around and he commanded the spirit to come out of her. And when the spirit came out of her, she was no longer a fortune teller. And the people who were making a lot of money from her telling fortunes got upset because she can no longer tell fortunes anymore. And they lost their way of earning money. And they got really upset. And so they took Paul to court, and it was a big rigmarole, and eventually ran him out of town. Now, Paul wrote this. There's a lot of other things that happened to Paul throughout his journeys. And you can read it for yourself. Shipwrecks, he was beaten. He was stoned, I think, left for dead like 3 times. And he's like, oh, but that's nothing compared to the glory, the grace, the blessings that I'm going to receive. He was the one who said, be joyful. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice while he was in prison. That's what he said. So it is possible. It is possible. The problem is that we have a earthly mindset rather than a heavenly mindset. Paul had a heavenly mindset, understanding that he's going to go through some difficult times here on this earth. Who knows what we as Christians are going to endure in the next few years? Who knows? But I guarantee you, if you're not grounded and know who you are in Christ, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. Paul kept his eyes on the after this, not the here and now. Let's learn from him. Number 16. You are God's workmanship, his masterpiece, created for good works. Again, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago." You could not do the good things he planned for you unless he created you anew. Unless he said to you, "Come alive, come alive, come alive." And I would just say to you, if you're not addressing those issues and doing what God has called you to do, you're missing out on a lot of joy in your life. He has gifted you with spiritual gifts and material things. He has given you talents. He has placed in you a passion to leave an imprint in people's lives. You've had experiences perhaps that no one else has had that has shaped you for the purpose God has for you. You were created for God's purpose, a purpose that he planned long ago. A scripture we read earlier in previous weeks, that it was before the foundation of the world, God chose you to accomplish his purpose in you at this time. Why were you born during this age? You could have been born any time in history. And God chose to put you here in this place at this time. Why? So that you could fulfill the purpose he created you for. That's the reason. Now, I would say, let's find out what his purpose is and get about doing his purpose rather than our own purpose. That's what we're going to be looking at in the weeks to come. For heaven's sake, what am I doing? What am I doing? For heaven's sake. That's what we're going to be looking at. Some of you have found your purpose. Some of you are still looking. I want to help you get there. This morning, I just have a few questions in closing I would like to ask. Do you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? Have you come alive? Was there something ignited in you when you met Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? You know, some people say, "I prayed a prayer," and I've shared this. I've prayed a prayer probably 1,000 times, but there was the last time that something came alive in me. And it has more to do with than prayer. It has to do with surrender. And some of you may have prayed a prayer 2,000 times, and there's never anything that's come alive in you. But I would just suggest to you that perhaps today you need to surrender and say, "God, no longer is it going to be my way, but it's going to be your way. I want to fulfill your purpose in my life and no longer fulfill the purpose that I've created for myself. I want Jesus as my Lord and Savior." In order to do that, that means that you may have to, you're going to have to stop doing things that you know are contrary to God's will, and you're just going to surrender that to him. In Scripture, you may say, "Well, I just can't do that. I don't know how." God will give you the power to do it if you will allow him to, if you will surrender, if you will call on him and maybe even get some help. But God will do that in your life. If you don't know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you are eternally separated from him. And he wants you. He's calling you. He's chosen you before the foundations of the world. Have you become discouraged because of life problems? You look at the world around us. You watch the television. You watch the news. Maybe you get discouraged. You're looking things up on Facebook. You become discouraged. People that you used to have as friends no longer friend you. You become discouraged. You become disheartened. Some of you this morning may even have come brokenhearted over some issues. Scripture says, take courage. Don't allow fear to overcome you, to overwhelm you. Don't allow grief to overcome you or overwhelm you. There's someone here greater. This is not your final home. Turn to your neighbor and say, this is not your final home. Jeannie? Nelda, Sandy, this is not your final home. Don't get discouraged. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And I know some of you are sick who have health problems. This is not your final home. This is not your final home. There's more coming your way than you can even imagine. We're going to have our worship team come up. We're going to pray. I'm going to pray for you. If you're here today and you've never come alive spiritually, if you've never received Christ and that has never become a reality in your life, I want to pray for you. And I don't know who you are. So would you just lift up your hand and lift it back down? It's okay. We've all been there. Anybody this morning that needs prayer in this area? Maybe this morning you'd say, you know what? I've been discouraged in my walk recently. I want to pray for you. Anyone here who just want to lift your hands? I want to pray for you. Thank you. Someone else. Okay. Thank you. Anyone else? So, Father, I come before you today, and Lord, I just want to lift up these individuals who've raised their hands. Lord, life is tough sometimes. Sometimes life beats us down. Life beats us up. So, Father, I pray for these individuals. Lord, sometimes we lose hope. But Lord, I pray that today you would give them hope. And you would give them peace that passes all understanding. And Lord, I pray that if there's any who are walking in a way that brings discouragement upon them, things that you've tried to lead them in different ways, and Lord, I pray that they would hear your voice today. And Lord, some even can't receive who they are or who you say they are because of the lies that are in their heart. And so I'm asking you, Lord, to remove those lies, whatever lies they may be. They're not good enough. Remove it. They'll never measure up. Remove it. They'll never accomplish anything. Remove it. Because, Lord, your hand is upon them. Pray your grace and your mercy would lead and guide them these coming days, weeks, months, and years ahead. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing. And if you want to come.